Hello and welcome to day 17 of our preparation for total consecration. Let's begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Day 17, ask for grace and you will receive it. In different times and in every kind of necessity throughout history, Our Lady has always been helping her children to reach their final goal, their salvation. If all the souls who have already finished their earthly pilgrimage could speak, countless volumes could be written about the wonders of grace that this loving mother has accomplished in their lives. But even these many volumes would contain only a small fraction of the tender care of this good mother for her children. This is so because all graces come to us from her, even those we are unaware of. And just think of how often the Immaculate needs to intervene for you without you even realizing the dangers you are in. In recent times, Our Lady has given to the world a tangible reminder of her universal mediation of grace, the miraculous medal. She herself appeared to St. Catherine Laboureille in a supernatural vision, showing her the pattern of the medal and asking that it be struck accordingly, as seen by the saint. To all who would wear it around their neck, Our Lady promised special graces and blessings, and history quickly proved how true Our Lady's promise was, meriting for the medal the name Miraculous. On this medal, Our Lady's hands are opened and luminous rays of light effuse from rings on her fingers to show the world that God wants to give grace and He wants to give it through Mary. But not all the rings gave off this splendid light. Some gave none. When St. Catherine Laboureille asked Our Lady the meaning of this detail of the Holy Vision, she explained to her that there are some graces that she never dispenses because no one asks for them. The rings that give no light symbolize riches of grace that never reach the souls for whom they are destined, because these souls do not pray for them. Our Lady always has graces available to you for all of your necessities, but she is unable to give them to you if she does not hear you asking for them and desiring them. You must, therefore, ask for them with confidence and trust, both for yourself and for others. Wear the miraculous medal with faith and share it with others. Learn and pray the simple prayer Our Lady taught us. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. Pray it for yourself and for others, especially those who most need grace and mercy, for the Freemasons and all other enemies of the Church, for heretics and for schismatics, and for all those who are in any way far from God. This good mother can work miracles of grace if only a person accepts her medal and agrees to wear it. The least bit of goodwill is sufficient for Our Lady to enter a soul and to shower it with grace and blessings that surpass all expectation. The Church, therefore, does not hesitate to apply to the Blessed Virgin Mary the words of Scripture. Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Pray to her often and see how true God's word is. All good things came to me along with her, and in her hands uncounted wealth. Let us now turn to page 81 for our daily prayers. If you can, please kneel down. The act of adoration of the Most Holy Trinity. I adore you, our Heavenly Father, because you have deigned to place in the most pure womb of Mary your only begotten Son. I adore you, O Son of God, because you condescended to enter the womb of Mary and became truly her actual Son. I adore you, O Holy Spirit, because you deigned to form in her immaculate womb the body of the Son of God. I adore you, O Most Holy Trinity, O One God in the Holy Trinity, for having exalted the Immaculate in such a divine way. And I will never cease daily, from the first moment I awake, to adore you most humbly, O Divine Trinity, with my face to the ground, repeating three times, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Antiphon of Our Lady by St. Francis of Assisi. Holy Virgin Mary, among women there is no one like you born into the world. You are the daughter and the handmaid of the Most High and Supreme King and Father of Heaven. You are the mother of our most holy Lord Jesus Christ. You are the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Pray for us with St. Michael the Archangel and all the powers of heaven and all the saints to your most holy beloved Son, our Lord and Master. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the enemies of the Holy Church and those recommended to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And that concludes our preparation for day 17. In yesterday's reflection, I said that mental prayer was essential and that it was a science. In this video, I'm going to explain why St. Teresa of Avila says it's the foundation and it is the entry point to all of the higher levels of prayer. And I'm going to hopefully convince you that this is something you can't sleep on. It's for you. It's for you. So before we can discuss mental prayer, I have to discuss you. So the human person has two sets of faculties. We have external faculties. So you're listening to this program right now with your ears. You're watching it with your eyes. You have the sense of touch. These are external faculties. I'm communicating to you externally. We also have interior faculties. This is the important thing to grasp about yourself and about every other person who's ever lived. Your interior faculties are primarily twofold. You have your intellect, which includes your imagination, your memory, your intellect, and your will. Your will includes your affections, how you feel, and that decision-making faculty. I'm making a choice. So your will go off of your affections. This is why most people, whenever they are attracted or they're turned on or they want something, they will act upon it. Sometimes they won't if their intellect informs them. Very important. So for example, many parents want their children to love Jesus. That's the act of the will that they desire. They desire the will of their child to love the Lord. But unless their intellect comes into contact with the Lord, unless their imagination makes present to them the sacrifice that Christ made, and He speaks to their hearts, their affections, their wills will never be changed, and they will continue on their course of action. So what we're going to do is we're going to use our imagination and our intellects to open our hearts to the grace of Almighty God. Now, the devil does not want you to use your imagination or your intellect in prayer. And one of the lies that he will say, you are no good at using your imagination. Anytime I talk about mental prayer, I would say that 95% of the people come up to me and say, I can't do it. It's impossible. I have this rare disease where it's impossible for me to use my imagination, and I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. Let me give you an example. Close your eyes. I would like for you to imagine a yellow school bus. Can you imagine the shape? One of those old school buses, not one of these fancy new age ones with no nose. You imagine that one? You just used your interior faculty of the intellect. You are capable of mental prayer. If I were to say, close your eyes, I would like for you to imagine Jesus as played by Jim Caviezel. You can imagine that with your mind? That's mental prayer. You have the ability to do mental prayer. No problem. It's easy. Why does the devil not want God in the imagination? Because that's where the devil loves to play. So many people commit solitary sins and sins of lust because of their imaginations and things they imagine. So many people imagine tragedies that might happen in the future. So many people dwell upon offenses that happened to them in their past. And so the devil uses our imagination all day long to keep us from doing what? God's will in the present moment. So we know that we can use our intellects and our imaginations. So we have an intellect, we have a will. Now I'm going to show you what difference that will make in your spiritual life using the Mass as an example. Let's imagine that you go to an amazing liturgy where the priest, when he celebrates that Mass, he acts as if it's really Jesus Christ. So when he leans over, he says the words of consecration so slowly. He lifts up the host so reverently. You go up for Holy Communion, everybody's so pious. The music lifts up your mind and your heart to God, and you're walking forward, and he says, the body of Christ, and you stick out your tongue, amen. And then you receive Holy Communion, you go back to your pew. That's a best case scenario with no mental prayer. Now imagine going to Mass using mental prayer. Same reverent holy priest walking in. You close your eyes. St. Teresa of Avila will discuss on all the steps of mental prayer tomorrow. Teresa of Avila recommends closing the eyes by cutting off the external faculties. I open the eyes of the soul more widely. Close my eyes. I imagine Christ is walking in. Instead of Father at the altar, saying the words of consecration, I keep my eyes closed. I imagine it's Jesus Christ leaning over and saying those words, this is my body. And with my eyes closed, I imagine that I am at the crucifixion and the heavens have opened up and angels are all around me swirling. They're kneeling, they're singing, holy, holy, holy. Jesus has wounds in his hands, wounds in his side, wounds in his feet. Grace is flowing out of his sacred heart. The priest lifts up the chalice, and I imagine the same thing. And as I'm going up for Holy Communion, I close my eyes as I wait to receive Holy Communion, and I imagine the risen Lord coming to me like a groom about to meet his spouse. He's so excited to see me, and I receive him, and the two of us become one. I go back to my pew. In my mind, I'm imagining the face of Christ. I'm having an intimate conversation with him. I'm quiet. He's speaking back to me. Now, the first one wasn't bad. The first one was better than most people's circumstances. But the second one was supernatural. And although it took place in my imagination, it's real. I am using my imagination to impact my will, to open my soul to grace. In the sacraments, I receive grace according to my disposition. So yesterday I gave a quote from St. Alphonsus. God rarely answers those who do not do mental prayer. So in this case, the one who is open and disposed to the supernatural realities that's happening during mental prayer, that person is receiving an ocean of graces. They're offering to the Eternal Father the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you step one, step two, step three for mental prayer. But today, I want to just review step number one because it's foundational to all other aspects of your prayer life. And this step number one is essential to praying always. It's very simple. Make an act of faith in the presence of God. Before you begin your rosary, you get down on your knees and you say, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, you are present everywhere. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're holding me into existence. I believe you are here. And with my imagination, I imagine to the best of my ability, the face of Christ. Now you might say, Gabe, I can't imagine well. I'm trying. That's fine. St. Teresa of Avila, the doctor of prayer, could barely use her imagination. She says it was so foggy and fuzzy. But the very act of the will of trying to use my imagination makes me contemplate, makes me consider that Jesus is really present. Say those words. I believe you are here. That act of faith in the presence of God changes everything, and it brings the presence of God from out there in some nebulous place to right here really close. We will pick up tomorrow on step one, step two, step three to mental prayer. God bless you. God love you. And we will see you tomorrow.